Please, Eagle FM, allow me to do that. You know, the promo that just ended, allow me to redo and re-record that whole thing in Afrikaans. I think I'm going to kill it.
Oh, my goodness. Guys, help me.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwighto.
Guys, help me. Helmut is on a roll on this Monday.
Yeah, it's a Monday. It's a Monday. And it's, well, it's the 17th of, oh, some people are getting paid ASAP.
On Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, Wednesday. Ouch. Okay. Welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, as always. We're always here with an exciting topic to keep you company until the hour of six. Then we hand everything over to King David.
What's with the pause, bruh?
I don't want to say something that will get us fired.
Well, you went with King David, and that, you know, that already took us, you know, pretty biblical for no reason.
No, the, you know, His Majesty would have walked through that door to punch me in the face. But yeah, well,
but at least it's not as bad as our, you know, production / IT guy who decided to change, you know, resolution settings on a computer here for production. But yeah, you know, it's wonderful stuff. Guys, I hope you guys have the same colleagues I have. You know, they do weird things to each other and you go like, hey, okay.
Where is this coming from?
You know, I don't know if that is a sign of, you know, I feel for you. I'm here to help you. But, or it's, I don't know, but I'll still try and help you.
We are trying our best type of, you know, type of scenario that you are dealing with.
And it's literally like the pot and the kettle are telling each other, you be the navigator with no compass.
That would be like the blind leading the blind, dude.
Exactly. But I had to say, you know, a kettle and a pot literally trying to do navigation. But no one has known the kettles and pots to do navigation before.
Unless they are, okay, no, that's another example that will also get us into trouble. But anyway, let's talk about skills now, shall we?
Mm.
Yeah, we live in the world that is ever, you know, advancing with technology. And today's discussion is somewhat encompasses those, you know, two things. One, skills or skills development, or basically just skills in general.
Yeah.
How the landscape of skills acquisition and development, basically, let's just say skills acquisition and application is changing thanks to the advancement of technology. Because whether we like it or not, technology is, well, is here to stay. Things have been changing thanks to our, you know, curiosity and the sort of like, need to make things, to figure out ways to make things easier. So that's how we moved from, using primitive tools like stones and sticks. And now we are with, advanced, fairly advanced.
Mm.
Actually, most advanced level of, you know, of our, at least civilization, I think it's safe to say. So now we are at a point where I think today's discussion, maybe before I get to the, to we are now at a point. So, today's discussion is about is based on Coursera's global skills, you know, a global skills report. Trusted skills insight for a rapidly changing world. They are a tech institution. So, it's safe to say that they will always look at everything basically from their perspective, from their skill set, more like, yeah, from their field of specialty. Like, how were people acquiring skills back then? How were different skills applied back then? And how has that changed ever since the emergence or the the emergence of technology, in which is impacting everything from communication to travel and basically everything around us?
Yeah.
How has this changed? Now, skills development is one of the skills development. Let me just say, I keep using development. Trying to sort of like get myself to used to at least saying skills acquisition. Because that's where we are. Every country basically is looking at how do you impart these skills from the next generation. To the next generation. How do you train people better? How do you get people, you know, more like acquire skills faster and apply it in the most efficient way possible?
Mm.
And now we have technology that's also infiltrated that world, but now it makes it sound like it was a secret operation that has basically found itself in that influencing that you know that sphere too. How we acquire skills today and how we apply those skills is different from just a couple of decades back, thanks to the technological advancement. Now, this report also, even though it speaks to different aspects of technology, they really do zone in on generative AI again.
But skills. Generative AI, Helmut, is a bit weird because the things that people now use. Let's say the AI functions that people have access to right now are all paid for functions.
Like including the ones that are on your browser?
All of them. Look, you get a free version of the thing.
Yeah.
But the moment you want to use more than what is there.
You want to access more features.
Yeah. Then it's a paid for function.
Yeah.
Now we all have heard of ChatGPT's particular paywall or oncoming paywall that you will engage in.
Yeah.
For example, Helmut, try to imagine to yourself, what's the value of a $200 subscription per month? And that's just for ChatGPT. And that is obviously where in most of the generative AI functions are going to be, you know, possessed within. The same too also for Canva. Hende and I, we use particular graphics that we use for social media. Eagle FM and the Villagers social media sports posts. We use that from Canva accounts that we both have because it has now been proven you don't need the exorbitant what they call it licensing membership situation that Adobe and its software collection.
Like you don't need the subscription.
Yeah, the subscription. The subscription processes anymore. The subscription processes are now basically like a cloud feature, cloud internet, cloud hosting feature, because it's still a computer somewhere that hosts all these functions, and all you need is just to access the functions. You don't need to install the functions. Now, there's obviously, if you remember back to our talk earlier this year, the right to repair. Yeah. Discussion and the right to ownership of things, which also jumps into the right to own software as well. Because here's the thing. Many people will now ask, okay, $200 translates to 8,000 Namibian dollars here in Namibia. Which mad person will have a 8,000 Namibian dollar subscription to the full features of chat? Yes, and there might be a few mad people in Namibia. Who would love to see the equivalent of a car's installment or a house installment being deducted from their salary.
Okay, is that a personal, like an individual use or it's like individual. A commercial enterprise?
It's individual. Individual or commercial or whatever. And we all know that when it comes to a commercial enterprise that buys licensing fees, they buy it as it's like a bulk purchase. For example, the software that media companies also need to have access to in some cases. And I'm talking now, for example, things like the software subscription for, let's say, Microsoft Windows that you have on a normal desktop PC. So in many cases, Microsoft Windows is sometimes preloaded on laptops. But in some cases, a pre-built computer, a desktop computer, sometimes it's just something with no operating system installed on it. Meaning it's up to you.
Yeah.
And there's a specific reason why people still build computers till this day, primarily because you want to give that person, that consumer that's buying this custom built computer, you want to give them the opportunity to pre-install, to install whatever they want. It's
their own specification.
It's their prerogative. However, in this world of consumerism, the consumer has now become used to convenience, and said convenience is based upon, okay, I'm buying a pre-installed machine that Helmut is selling me, And I'm happy that he installed Windows on it. I don't care what kind of Windows it is. I don't care if it's Home Basic, Student Basic, or what's the other thing's name? Or
the other thing is Commercial Break.
Yeah, that one too.
Ready, steady, cook. Go One Africa TV. Otoyete wanoma panduro. Go ShopRite Namibia.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. Weekdays from 4:30 to 6. Only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. And the other thing after a commercial break.
Yeah, so people don't care, you know, what version of Windows they've got on their computers, pre-built, custom-built, or if it's a laptop or whatever. The dimension is that in many cases the consumer says, you know, as long as I can push a switch on the thing and it runs.
Yeah, as long as it's, you know, I'm getting my job done.
Or function, or I'd like to watch movies, or I'd like to have this particular piece of hardware.
Just the basics.
Just to serve a basic need, you know, for basic computerism at home.
Yeah, I'm not splitting atoms.
Nothing of that. Well, even though you can use that machine that way.
But you need the skills and quite a few upgrades.
That too, in a very strong and a very strong internet connection as well, and a lot of storage space. But getting back onto the subject matter in terms of why I started with hardware, that rolls into the discussion of, you know, the skills development that's going on. Now, I know I wrote the article based upon this particular report for the Villager e-paper back in last month, or at the start of this month, one of the two. Yes, it shows that there is a clear-cut need that people are buying into, a need, you know, a future need assessment or being ready for something new in, you know, the coming 12 months from, let's say, October, heading into 2026. The other particular thing is also where you are already seeing major employment disruptions taking place. So the first sector that's ultimately seeing the largest of the AI rollout and AI adoption discussion is in the entertainment sector. Many people are assuming that it will first hit things like education or, you know, higher education or other factors. But much of the AI adoption and let's call it the tech skills adoption discussion has to do with functions where, where you first see entertainment and where you first see like things like doing payroll, for example, of a company or doing, you know, other particular sort of like computing tasks where you would need human oversight in many cases, or you would sometimes see a transcription exercise, in a courtroom scenario. Even though I came and explained here that the Ugandan justice judiciary has tried to roll out a AI transcription service for their court system, and the thing went and hallucinated and literally made up court cases that they never had in their legal system, which made things complicated because this means that a judgment could be influenced if a judge or a magistrate or a lower court official does not have that attention for detail discussion to try and ask, what court case is this thing citing? And then they go read up on it, and then they probably realize, oh, but this thing pulled in a court case that has nothing to do with our system. They pull it in, let's for example say from Namibia. But the closest court system to Namibia is South Africa. That's why South African lawyers can be hired from there to come and debate things in Namibia, yeah, and potentially vice versa, because there's a similarity being shared there. Now, the most obvious sector being impacted today, as we are speaking right now, is the entertainment sector, specifically the gaming industry. Games. Not gaming as in you go and gamble at the casino and stuff like that.
There are content creation in there.
Not yet. Not yet content creation. Content creation, Helmut, is raising alarms. I attended a virtual workshop while attending another workshop last week, but the virtual one was a Africa UN one. It's the same workshop that we had the discussion on how, where I told you that the guy from Somalia didn't even know what SDGs were a week before he signed, before he had to participate in the, in that virtual workshop on SDGs.
Ouch.
So it was from that same workshop where the perception on the, how African news and African needs are perceived in the other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Now, at the same particular workshop of last week, Wednesday, this virtual one, they were obviously now talking about fact checking and how do you check for original stuff and the likes. I could only stay on for an hour and then switched off because, you know, the power went off where I was and literally it bombed out the internet as well. So some of the core concerns cited from there was, how do you follow up on certain things? Now,
keyword on that follow up.
Yeah, yeah. How do you follow up? Now, there are channels. If like in the Namibian media landscape here in Namibia, we can immediately call the public relations officers, or we can even call directly ministers and CEOs of companies and ask them, listen, did you really issue this particular statement? Because this thing probably looks weird. And that's one of the issues of generative AI. Generative AI is now one of the biggest tools being used to create misinformation.
Yeah.
Three times this year, the State House, the presidency, the Namibian presidency,
yeah, yeah,
has had to issue warnings on where generative AI has been used for something the vice president has said and for two or three things that supposedly the president has supposedly said.
Then
there was Minister of Education as well, supposedly endorsing one or other particular education scam.
There are Francine, don't go in there. There's a video.
That too as well. So we can obviously see what generative AI is doing.
But you know how easy it was, at least for the friends in Dongo and that I came across.
What?
In less than 30 seconds.
Mm.
Francine Dongo switches from, what you'd call, African-ish, Namibian-ish type of accent in terms of how he's speaking English.
Mm.
To straight or like American, straightforward.
Yeah, okay. But you would also sometimes look at like body language, whether it's actual, real, how the head is sometimes held. Because you can sometimes see what this computer is doing. It's making, if it's based upon a human that is trying to mimic,
yeah,
it literally makes it robotic.
But it's becoming difficult to tell. Every day that technology is advancing.
I know. Do you know why I say I know?
Yeah.
I watched a deepfake video of Yanis Varoufakis, not last week, the week before. It took me 2 minutes to realize I'm watching a deepfake AI generated false thing. Why? So it looked like Yanis, but then there was a loop and he kept looping and it was something like his neck and his hand gesture, but it kept looping.
It's sort of like glitching.
Exactly. But the thing is continuing,
yeah,
but he keeps doing the same thing. And for the human eye, it's an annoyance if you keep doing the same thing, because
yeah,
you'll be asking, Bryce, there's something wrong with your neck. Why does your neck keep doing this? What are you doing? Now, every 20 seconds,
yeah,
his head does this.
Yeah.
Every 20 seconds, his head twitches to leftwards. And then his hand gestures do the same thing. It's as if he's having a little seizure, but it's like a
so
stop.
It's just input. One snippet that was most likely taken from a,
no, hmm, no. So what generative AI does is you write a script.
Yeah.
You feed.
So it's prompt based.
Yeah. You feed the thing, the script, the platform.
Yeah.
Then you take a voice of Yanis and you take a photo of Yanis,
yeah,
and you literally now combine all those elements. I'm now literally giving someone probably a potential scammer out
there.
The whole recipe.
There's a their whole YouTube and Instagram and TikTok channels that are dedicated to pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I didn't, if I was like super asleep or super unaware, I could have thought that Yana's probably changed tune because the content, the message that was being shared in that video, and it was like a good 6-7 minute thing, ne? Potentially was because it was opposite of what he was saying. It was confusing. Why do I say it was confusing? Because Varoufakis is pro-socialist values. So he's trying to achieve, an EU that tries to, or European platform that thinks more of the European citizens from Greece to Paris to Copenhagen to Madrid to, Rome. Where's there another island nation in, to Malta and to Cyprus and to Poland even, that has this holistic view of looking after the welfare of the EU system and ensuring that the EU's policies and politics are not pro-war and financing anything for NATO, but rather being, you know, you look after your needs first. You try to sort all the particular socio-economic needs of the bloc, of the 27 nation bloc, and you try to strengthen its position specifically. His whole, and I just summarized, his whole idea, because he formed a political party that's a cross-national party in Europe, meaning it's got branches in European countries.
EU countries.
Yeah, and in various EU countries. He formed this party for the need that has this particular socialist, welfare-based, positive socio-economic perspective party that tries to achieve or tries to dispense politics and policies for the good and for the common man and woman, and that aims to achieve the various particular needs that they've got. However, this video literally was opposite that.
Then at this point, you're asking yourself, okay, since when?
Exactly. Since when? Another thing that was also pivotal was, and I'm not going to mention names, 2 weeks back as well, in that same week, people were sharing a religious video on their WhatsApp statuses. Yeah. One of the people sharing it was a PRO in a ministry. And she also wrote a little caption. Don't worry, I won't mention your name. But she wrote a little caption. And the caption was like, if the church, something in the line of, if the church is, you know, is this impactful, please count me out. As if she believed what the video was about. So what the video was about, Hamid, let me describe it. You might have seen it. But it's a slightly, you know, big boned, preacher lady who jumps down the stage, a church stage, and she's speaking, some sort of an Africanized English dialect, but while she's busy preaching, and then she tries to jump back onto the stage, but she literally falls through the stage, damaging the stage.
And all that is AI generated.
From the jumping down, from the way she moved left and right on the stage, from how she jumped down, and then she tried to jump back on, and then she fell through the stage, and then the gentleman appears immediately. He just, out of a side shot, just, whoop, just like, you know, like you would slide a card from left to right, showing this particular now sort of like entity in terms of that is now trying to help us supposedly with, you know, what's going on, all that. And more people, and I'm sorry for using this word, but there's a lot of people out there that are becoming suckers of AI. And then they would perpetuate that this is a reality, even though you can see the robotic movements, you can see the unrefined movements, you can see the fictional portrayal of events. And it's becoming worse and worse. And it's literally, to the extent, like what you mentioned last year of the Mkhonto Sizwe party, supposedly being endorsed by Trump.
By Trump, yeah.
Which was so far from reality. which was so far from reality.
Zuma's own daughter. I don't know if she did it because she fell for it or she just did it intentionally. Knowing her, I would say chances are very high she did it intentionally. She ate on Twitter and it went bananas.
But how much?
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of five, and you're still listening to your Drive Time show with your favorite duo, that's Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. Now,
where I was?
Yeah.
Okay, so the downside is, Helmut, people are gonna get they're gonna get coaxed, they're gonna get persuaded by false messages.
Yeah.
Because on the internet, you can get a lot of free images of a lot of things and people and even logos and company stuff. And you start seeing more and more of these defensive plays that firstly, ministries have to do. Firstly, it was the presidency, it's the state house. Now it's ministries. You will later on see that it'll become businesses themselves that have to sort of like defend against this particular pervasiveness of, or the widespread of this particular usage of this technology, which is false. In many cases, it's misinformation and disinformation. And I don't think that the scammers themselves, because we have to call them scammers in many cases, because they're trying to start something where there's some sort of a financial gratification or something being dispensed or message being shared. I don't think these guys paid attention to the Ministry of Information's particular call and the Namibian police's particular appeal of using social media and internet responsibly.
Yeah.
Who would care about such messages? Now, the first thing I don't want is the Ministry of Information and the Namibian police actually policing us on our internet, on our internet usage, because specifically that would mean they would be able to come and look at what I'm viewing or what I'm doing,
yeah,
or how long I'm staying on the internet, like China is currently doing with its citizens, because the Chinese government in 2022 or 2023 rolled out there's a specific act that they rolled out in terms of how much internet a teenager should be exposed to during a course of 24 hours.
How can I know though that the person watching this is the person using this device is a teenager? Is it by the way that they sign up for certain things?
Yeah. Specifically, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
What people have not yet shared from this new regulation that came out in 2023. All the internet reports, specifically from online articles,
yeah,
cited just this 2-hour limit. But what people don't know is that specifically there's a whole range of regulation that you as a user in, for example, like a country like China, you've got to go and register, you know, that you've got a SIM card, where you stay, what your particular service provider is. So all that data would already have been collected, citing, you know, how many of you are there. And then you would obviously say that you've got probably a teenage son or a teenage daughter there. And what I also realized in many other countries like Turkey and South Korea is that internet cafes are still a thing in those countries. So internet cafes also probably would be already like pretty asking you, are you old enough to play this game or are you not? Now, this obviously just shows you the density of internet services versus what happens here in Namibia. You and I would be considered by many rural communities to be slightly privileged or slightly, what's that word? What's that other word I was sometimes hit with? We are bougie. Yeah. We are supposedly bougie for...
So can't go for a day without internet connection.
But that's ultimately, you know, that's some of the perceptions that I sometimes experience.
I'm going to have a headache.
There's nothing you can do, Helmut. You can have that headache. No one will share it with you. The downside is you can literally see just from this Coursera report, the first thing in the first chapter literally starts off with, in 2023, early adopters flocked to Gen AI, with approximately one person per minute enrolling in a Gen AI course with them. And the rate that rose to 8 people per minute in 2024. And since then, generative AI has continued to see exceptional growth, with global enrollment in Gen AI courses surging by 195% year over year, maintaining its position as one of the most rapidly growing skill domains that are being offered digitally. So it's either that the scammers are learning to become skilled scammers through generative AI and internet technologies, or we are probably teaching people to become fact checkers, verifiers, and the lot. Start of this year, remember the 3-month AI course I had, workshop I had to do?
Yeah, the fact checking
one. Yeah, which also included fact checking and other particular skill sets. In that particular workshop, Helmut, there was one session that we had to do with a guy from Deutsche Welle, but he was like a technology guy. This guy explained how in the Northern Hemisphere, how news corporations now have to write their own fact-checking software, AI fact-checking software, deep fake fact-checking software. They have to write their own software, patent the software, and they have to continually update the software so that the software stays ahead of the times.
So it's able to detect the
new developments, new features.
And becoming more advanced every day.
Exactly. So now, and these are news corporations, like the discussion you had last week about the Reuters report as well, which also includes creators and influencers that also adopt AI stuff.
Yeah.
But remember, I started with that the entertainment sector is first seeing AI. So what's currently happening? So your beloved franchise, the thing that you love playing, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Call of Duty, 2 weeks back, rolled out the latest installment in their Call of Duty franchise, known as Black Ops. Black Ops obviously speaks towards, you know, covert missions and the likes. And you obviously, if you are a millennial and has never played video games, I'm really sorry for you. Or a Gen Xer, meaning older than me, I'm also still sorry for you. But Black Ops, which is, I think it's Black Ops 7, the latest installment.
Yeah.
And so many consumers are refunding because of AI usage in the game. So what does that mean? Specifically, gamers don't like sloppy work, first and foremost. They appreciate craftsmanship.
Yeah, and it's very easy to, you know, it's very easy to pick up.
Yeah, it is. There was another game that Ubisoft also launched at the start of this month known as Anno 18 something, the latest one. And you know what some games have is that they've got that loading screen, you know, as you're loading into a specific segment of the game that you're playing.
Like a specific mode, yeah.
Yeah. And that loading screen usually has art, drawn art, that you know, since you're playing with this thing. And then they would realize the arm is not joined properly onto the body, or the guy's head cuts halfway. Or they realize, but why does everything look the same here? Or they realize that there's an anomaly in terms of like proportions of certain of the landscape and stuff like that. And then many gamers realized, but this thing has got AI in it. Now, what has been happening?
That's the problem.
That's the problem. So what has been happening? So the games industry has been going through 2.5 years of retrenchments and layoffs.
Of the people that have been
needed
making the games.
Yes. So for 2.5 years, retrenchments and layoffs have been taking place in the gaming industry. Microsoft at the start of September or August had laid off like 9,000 people. Yes, guys, Microsoft can afford to lay off 9,000 people. They laid off 9,000 people, guess where? In the Xbox division. IBM laid off people where? In the HR department. The people that have to do, guess what? The people that have to do, what was the function that they had to do? Was it payroll? It was the payroll guys. And then they had to rehire the people to properly come and oversee that the AI was doing the job properly.
So that when they finally realize the AI is doing the job properly, then they're like, okay, now goodbye, this time for good. Now,
but you still had to pay short-term contracts because that person whose skills that you want is going to go negotiate you with a premium rate.
Okay, I think part of the problem here is that, if you look at AI, for example, picture it this way. If you live in a country that's war-torn, for example, and you have a bunch of people that are military trained, what you're going to end up at the end of the day when you finally have your independence, for example, you're going to end up, you're going to end up in a situation where, at the end of that conflict, you now have a bunch of guys that, that don't have any other skill but to pull the trigger. And then you're going to have a lot of, you know, you're going to have a lot of, political instability problems. I think this is where the AI world is headed. I think, not just that, the whole world, basically all sectors across the planet are headed. Because of the transition into, from the electronic straight into the digital sphere, you're talking about, data centers are going to become, a norm. Because you need data center to store all this digital information that you're gathering. And they're frictionally expensive, so not everyone can afford them. So yeah. Now you have, a literal large-scale cloud storage that you're talking about. So at the end of the day, you are going to end up with the people that designed the system being kicked out of the system.
Mm.
And you are going to have a few rebels here and there. I think this is where you are now looking at, groups like the Lazarus Group and, Hunters International Group. These are the groups that this industry is building.
Mm.
And, fasten a seatbelt because it's going to get messy.
No, it won't. It will. Here's the other thing also, Helmut. Obviously the next set of skills being developed is obviously cybersecurity. Now, cybersecurity is pretty weird. Why do I say it's weird? Well, as people are trying to do generative AI or learn about generative AI skill sets and doing short courses digitally about it, and receiving certifications and the likes, cybersecurity on the other end means also that you probably see a lot more cyber attacks happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're not on, Helmut.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm gone.
So, as more people are learning about generative AI, dear listeners, you also have a whole bunch of people that are also being trained ever more in cybersecurity skill sets. Being that cybersecurity is becoming ever more important, specifically in many developing nations. Now, we are still trying to understand and decipher the uses and the needs of everyday persons with the internet. Yeah. Well, how do you decipher that particular needs analysis? If you potentially have, there are some Namibians that wish to have OF accounts.
Yeah.
And that then becomes a morality discussion because there's a whole bunch of church going people in this country who, yeah, a whole bunch probably would sign on to earn money that way.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch would sign on to donate money that way.
Yeah.
And a whole bunch would go like, but this is immoral. This is not something that should happen in the Namibian landscape. We should be a God-fearing, Christian-based community and society. that has all our models in place.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So we continue.
So we obviously see that, you know, the internet space is somewhat warping things a lot. When I say things, it's multi-sectoral, it's cross-cutting situations, and it warps so many particular perspectives that in many cases, you sometimes have some, I'll call it like observers or intellectuals that go like, but the internet is not a real space, meaning it's not real life.
Yeah.
And real life needs to be lived, meaning you still need to walk to the corner.
You still need physical interaction.
Yeah, you still need to walk to the corner of the street to go take a cab, helmet, to come to the studio. You sitting there on a keyboard, doing keyboard commands to whoever, wherever, doing what, shouting on what particular chat room or platform does not actually mean that you'll still be able to, let's say, meet your real needs in the real world.
Yeah.
So there are direct threats that digital developments can pose to people. For example, the future of jobs report that you and I analyzed. And then there are also dimensions in terms of where people can actually derive more skill sets and potentially have more job opportunities by participating more in certain new developments for the internet. Cybersecurity is one of them. On the generative AI thing, I'm still trying to understand how. Because from what I've seen, for example, if you buy the subscription on Canva,
yeah.
If you buy the subscription part, which includes generative AI functions and features, it's more like you hold on to those designs and things that you create there. Remember, Canva is trying to make it easier for anyone to try and design things, like instead of buying the services of a graphic designer, they're trying to make things easier. And that lady herself, she's not a tech expert. She was never trained in basic computing, design and engineering. And all she said was, why do I need to pay Adobe $5,000 a month or a year just to have a subscription fee to the software that's installed on my computer? If you can just have a cloud computing platform that stores all designs. Stores all font templates, stores all various kinds of templates to do all kinds of particular projects associated to graphic design that you find anywhere else. And then all she did was, let's make a generative AI function as well, because it's obviously the new particular norm. And you just have to pay your, what do they charge? That 20 US dollar, something like that? So you pay that extra feature, which is something we spoke about also, remember, at the start of this year with the AI discussions and the various tech discussions with those guests we had here on the Home Run. So things are happening, but it's not to say let me go and bite every pie out there or eat every slice of cake out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are the particular developments.
Okay, here's the thing. We're talking about AI and its influence in pretty much every sphere of our lives. And at the end of the day, you have also in the very same, both experts and non-experts alike, predicting talking about the whole AI bubble, and it's going to burst, and it just fasten a seatbelt for any of the, fallout that comes after that. But For me, I think my biggest fear, at least personally, is not about that.
Mm.
It's about for countries now that don't have the hard way. Take, we do this whole transition into skills development because this report looks at generative AI in terms of skills and the influence it has in the acquisition and application of different skills.
Yeah.
Now, how they acquire basically, back then, you'd sit in the class and, you have your teacher chalk and a chalkboard and doing all that. And then we moved from there to projectors, and now we have all this type of, take for example, if there was a massive rollout of this, virtual reality, that would be a whole new way of learning.
Yeah.
Which is, which is impressive. It's nice. Except, bringing us back to, back to square one. You have very easy way of training people, of upskilling people to work where when everyone is being replaced with a software.
Mm. And it's just a software subscription.
Yeah. All you just have to do is, instead of getting a graphic designer to go and sit and go through the painstaking way of basically aligning all these pictures together to come up with a whole picture of, take for example, your wedding invitation. Some reason that's it's funny saying that about you. Sorry, dude. Your wedding invitation.
Who said I want to marry him?
Which is why I'm laughing.
Who says I want to marry?
Or your birthday card, or your funeral, programs.
Yeah.
I remember back in 2015. As far back as back in 2015, go back to 2010. Microsoft Office suite comes with a Microsoft Word, a PowerPoint, Excel, and there's a presentation. Mm. Yeah.
No, yeah. Presentation is PowerPoint.
Yeah. There's one that I'm living. Is it Outlook?
Outlook is.
Yeah.
Because they tried to give you the function of arranging your calendar appointments with designated dates, as well as ensuring that you stay on top of your particular deadlines and the likes. But Outlook, in many cases, clashed with, for example, email service, because the assumption was that you used Internet Explorer's email function of Microsoft or of the Windows package that you had.
Yeah.
And the downside was many people at that stage either had Hotmail or Yahoo Mail. And then from there, it was a discussion also where companies went and registered for their own email servers, meaning you pay licensing to say that thing at the end of @eaglefm.com.na. Your own custom email domain.
Yeah.
And Microsoft Outlook would clash with that, because the assumption was you never tied in your email appointment situation or with your calendar planner, which Outlook has, literally with your email server. So if Microsoft has an update, it could impact your whole planning. And I've seen it. Many people have complained about earlier versions of Outlook.
Yeah.
Now they seem to have sort of like streamlined things. You can even link Outlook now to your Gmail account, and
synchronization.
Yeah, it's a whole synchronization discussion. But pre-COVID, it was a nightmare to many people, and I never understood why people would use Outlook, because if you already have a Gmail account, and even though you have a Windows system, let's say you're doing everything on a computer.
Yeah.
Google literally beat Microsoft to this particular development, because Google literally indicates to you, you can plan everything on your phone that can synchronize through your web browser, which is in many cases would be, which now would be, what's Google's one's name?
Chrome.
Through Chrome, and you just run it. And you can synchronize between your internet browser, Chrome, with your Microsoft platform, which is your computer.
Yeah, and if you're signed in via the same Google account all across your old devices, that also...
They just synchronize, just synchronize straight up. Mar now, you had some very wonderful IT technicians here in Namibia. And then I would just sit there watching them go like, what are you trying to do?
Now, look, the thing is, technology has made things easy.
Yeah.
And actually very easy to do things and very easy to execute tasks, basically. Now, now we are basically, and this is the whole world, especially when it comes to the whole discussion of employment and skills, skills acquisition and application.
Mm.
It has never been easy if you have the right technology around you to be a teacher. Because, back then without, take for example, internet and smartphones. Now, I can only imagine what teachers had to go through. Because everything, every time that they needed to find something.
This is an AI image.
You had to go to the library and get that information.
Exactly.
But now,
that is an AI image.
That's too smooth. Like, way too smooth.
Plus the filtering on that image. Oh, and don't trust the ladies. I'm sorry, guys, for throwing away your secret, your dating secrets. But the ladies love using filters, and a lot of those filters use an AI situation.
Telling you. You will meet Princess Leia online and then run into Fiona on a date. But that's my favorite reference.
Oh, my goodness, Almut.
And this is Fiona in the evening, not in the afternoon. Ask Shrek. Went through that.
Nope.
Well,
we still don't know if Shrek was actually catfished. Remember, she became his LOL.
Mm-hmm.
Through some sort of a natural transformation.
Look.
Situation.
Look, Shrek. All Shrek wanted was to be left alone. Shrek was an introvert.
Yeah, and then he went and inadvertently saved the princess.
That was Dr. Fark. That was, Lord Fark was nonsense.
And then Shrek subscribes inadvertently to a mission that he never wanted.
No, never wanted. To go and slay the dragon.
When the dragon inadvertently falls in love with the friend that Shrek also didn't want, the donkey. And the donkey, unfortunately, like...
How did the donkey land the dragon?
Mixed race dragon donkey situation, draglets.
What nice teeth you have there. Turns out that's a compliment. But anyway...
And he didn't know that the dragon is actually a female. Poor donkey. But yeah.
Oh, right. It has never been easy to basically transfer skills or share skills.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have a lot of tools. We have especially when it comes to visualizing things. That's why the example I used earlier before we went, we went all Shrek-y was that teachers with like, and even, those ones that, stay with teachers.
Mm.
If you were in a teacher before the development of smartphones, for example, you had to, be very specific about information that you are dispensing in the class. Because if you are preparing that lesson in the class, you must make sure to carry either all the books that you're going to need with you, that's a pile.
Mm.
Yeah. It's either you have to take notes on basically everything. Now, today it's very easy to do that because all you just have to do is sit in the class. And you can access everything. You basically have the library in your pocket.
That's if the kids are thinking like you're thinking, Helmut, right now.
No. For you as a teacher, like life has been made very easy because you have the library in your pocket. You can access any information that you want to use in your example.
Yeah, we are once again assuming a paradise situation. That's based on the notion that the kids are literally paying attention.
Yeah.
That no one has drank 5 liters of Coke and has got the world's sugar rushes
now,
going
to... Now, as a parent, just why would you do that? Not in the morning. Look, I'm saying not in the morning because as a teacher, I don't want to deal with it. Give them Coke in the evening so you can deal with it. What?
That's not going to happen, Helmut. you know, between you and me, you've been the one that has been a teacher.
Yeah. I know, one student at our school, went gangster with the HOD. They were staking it out. Commercial break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer without being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back after my very nice, Afrikaans,
sticking it out. So yeah. Okay, so this is what we face, Helmut, yeah. Supposedly. Remember, and still remember back to the future of jobs discussion from the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
Now, Coursera themselves have noted that by 2030, an estimated 92 million jobs will be displaced, so they're referencing the future of jobs.
Well, so those are the skills that we are training people to acquire.
Currently.
Only to turn around and tell them, on second thought.
Your job might not be there.
Yeah.
And then it notes on the same balance that supposedly, while that 92 million is being phased out or under threat, apparently 170 million will be created. Meaning, while 170 million new jobs will be created, which will supposedly be, I say supposedly.
Because we're not there yet.
We're not there yet.
But it's hard to tell.
And it's just an estimation. 78 million new roles will pop up. Now, the current concerns right now, Helmut, are discussions of permanent wages, jobs, and the likes, meaning having, if you grew up where your mom and dad told you, I've been working for 20 years at the same place, and then obviously the child will grow up to have the same ambition as well, be committed to the same enterprise for so long. And before them, that child probably has a grandparent that is now a Gen Xer, that would have said, I did all this without going to university, and look at me, I'm tough like nails, strong. What was that internet meme that popped up in COVID? The guy that did the weird tongue thing where he said at the swimming pool, only tough people laugh. No, tough times don't last. Only tough people last. And then he does that weird situation. That particular meme. Now, that's supposedly the Gen Xers. Before them, it was the baby boomers. Don't ask me about the boomers. The boomers are the ones that will tell you, be a man, get up, go rake the yard, and you'll be a millionaire. Supposedly by cleaning the yard, you'll become a millionaire. Supposedly.
Maybe back then.
Yeah, back then it did work for them. Today, it does not work. However, we can obviously see that literally the same ambitions do not align, meaning they don't cascade from the same generation in the same household to the same particular potential or same particular prospects that could be enjoyed. Why? Because one thing that's also not factored into this report, Helmut, was a discussion that's taking place parallel to this kind of a development around, firstly, people now doing internet short courses and the likes on the internet from wherever. That's the first thing you've got to start from. Meaning internet coverage and internet access is now becoming more widespread than ever before. Second thing is it's putting these 3-year courses and 3-year qualifications and institutions like universities and colleges, it's putting them under threat. Because now people will ask questions of, why must I pay $100,000 a year to go and study if I just need to pay $1,000 Namibian a month for good internet, a stable internet, and potentially watch all the YouTube videos that can provide all the free courses that I want in that scenario. Helmut, I realized, for example, what's the guy that's our graphic designer, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mike, for identifying you here. Mike has a specific degree. Or specific qualification, but it is in line with data analytics. Yeah. So his particular degree or particular qualification speaks to business analytics. Now, business analytics roughly translates what around the world people have been trained to do, which I, in my two, three-year courses got exposed to, and I know you got exposed to that thing as well, is literally where you were taught how to work with Microsoft Excel,
yeah,
the spreadsheet platform. Until I did that one workshop, data for storytelling, last year, same period, November, December. And literally we got a crash course in data analytics. Now at the heart of data analytics, you have to know where to get the data and you have to know how you're going to polish, clean and, sift through the data.
And you'll have to process it.
Which is a processing job.
Yeah.
Now, Excel and Google Sheets can do basic processing for you if the data is big enough for it to use. Meaning it's in a, it's an accommodative size for, then that computer is strong enough for you. That computer that you're using there, which can even be your phone. Then you've got the advanced data analytics. This is where now you're taught how to use Python, SQL, R. It's Python, SQL, R. There's a fourth one, where you're literally writing code, meaning you're writing an engine that has to deal with
the specific type of data that you're working with.
Exactly. But then fast forward into this year, into 2025, and I attend that 3-month workshop that I did. And AI can do data analysis for me. I can take a report and I can just throw it into a large language model or into an AI platform. And in that exercise, I kept using Notebook LLM from Google and Google's other AI, Gemini. You find Gemini now in your Gmail inbox, and you find Gemini in other platforms where you use Google, and mainly in Google searches. But Notebook LLM, which stands for large language model, meaning it's like a slightly larger thing than Gemini. So Notebook LLM seems to be slightly bigger than Gemini. However, there are certain features between the two things that are similar and certain things that you can do in the one that you can't do in the other. Both of them have free versions of it and both of them will also have paid for functions and features to it.
So they have the free trial with limited functionality and they
No, actually not.
They just have paid for.
No. They have free version situation of each of these platforms.
And
then they've got advanced paid for features.
Yeah, but the paid for usually comes with the extra functionalities compared to the free one. Yeah.
Yeah, but the free versions are not trial. They're not in trial phase.
So you can use it you can use it for as long as you want, but you are not going to have to access to a lot of functionality. That's the same thing that video editing tool CapCut also use.
That too.
Because they have
Canva. That's what Canva's situation is also. So Canva's paid for generative AI plus features.
Yeah.
Is free is in a trial phase because he told me somewhere in the middle of this year when I was using some generative AI functions for some of our articles, because I wanted to generate some unique bespoke illustrations. Look at me, you know, using that terminology, bespoke illustrations for some of our e-villager articles.
Yeah.
It told me you've only got 18 uses, free uses before you have to pay.
So that's okay. Is that
and all of them were trash. All of the illustrations were complete rubbish. They were trash. Lelijke goed. They were ugly. Helmut. They were ugly things.
Okay. Now, this AI, it doesn't matter in which aspect you try to have the conversation of AI and skills. It all keeps boiling down to the same problem that the developers of AI themselves are going, I mean, uh, would, well, have been predicted to go through, and they are currently going through it. So the goal, basically, of you know, of mankind, which is how we advanced, is to try to try and figure out the easiest way to do something.
Yeah.
So we tried with walking. Then, well, that didn't work. So we tried, God knows how many animals as mode of transport. People got kicked, I swear. And then we settled with a donkey, horse.
People were kicked and people were
eaten. Maybe someone tried a lion and they became lunch, and everyone was like, okay, when it comes to transport, stay away from that animal.
Or probably crocodiles. They tried surfing a crocodile and the crocodile just went like, nope.
You want to talk
I'll about, roll you over.
If you want to talk about my people, just talk about my people directly. Don't go through the corners. But look.
Hey, at one stage, humanity thought, you know, this, hey, look at this float, look at this floating log. And they decided to jump on the log just to realize that it was technically.
The log was angry.
That the log technically had, it had some buoyancy issues.
Intentional buoyancy issues.
Meaning it didn't act the way it wanted you to act.
Yeah. So that's, you know, just some few control issues you have to work on.
There's no manual for directions on how to use a crocodile helmet. Well, as long as they didn't try riding a hippopotamus, you know, a hippo would just realize
So the skills discussion. We have to understand that technology is constantly going to influence it, and no one actually knows for certain what is on the other side of this. What's on the other side of this tunnel? Because we're in a tunnel where there are a lot of things are changing, especially when it comes to there are a lot of types of tasks mostly workplace that are being taken over by AI. And now you have people that were executing those tasks, the people that were playing those roles being rendered somewhat redundant. So they have to be let go. Now, this is not the first time this is happening.
But we only know of the entertainment sector. We don't know of banking. We don't know of manufacturing.
You want to bet someone is working on that?
They are.
Exactly.
They are already working. But the downside is a discussion, Helmut. If you get to banking, what you actually need there is a supercomputer.
You're going to have to be very careful now on how you apply it there.
No, you need a supercomputer. An AI is not a supercomputer. A supercomputer is already, it's preloaded with its calculations, its functions, and its particular, what you call it, like monitoring software.
And that's going to be somewhat very expensive.
Yes, it is. Why? Because still till today, and if you Google search this for any listener out there, go and Google search the 92nd financial crash that no one is talking about. Where close to 3 trillion or was it like 2 trillion US dollars just disappeared. People don't know if it was a glitch. Computers don't have a glitch, guys. Please. The last time. Today, let's destroy that myth. A computer does not have a glitch. If there is a glitch, it's probably an electricity surge that just went zoop. And if there's an electric surge that is more than what the machine can actually accommodate, it'll fry all circuits. Because an electric surge is a bad thing for any electronic device.
Yeah.
However,
that's why you have circuit breakers.
However, computer glitches should be properly analyzed. For someone that comes up with a computer glitch, it's usually someone did something. They didn't enter something, or they didn't know what they were doing. And they just, the system has an issue. And I love it when I observe two humans, Helmut, explain, you know, the one is telling the other one, yeah, how did this happen? And the other one responds by saying, the system does this. I'm not in control. And then I stand there looking at this person going like, how can you blame something that you have to feed information into?
Okay, look. You have to understand the people that are developing the technology are rendering themselves redundant.
True.
Yeah, skills-wise.
It has already happened with the gaming industry.
They have the skills. And I know that the application, or more like the products being produced by this technology right now, because it's still in its rudimentary stage, the product is not at the same quality that we are used to, especially when it's being produced by human. Again, it's also good to acknowledge that this is not how the technology started. In other words, it's going to improve to the point where you can't tell the difference.
That also means in certain scenarios, Helmut, as we are seeing things, and this is based upon the other branch out of this discussion. So let's stay on generative AI, which has been the AI bubble that many people have called recent developments in AI.
Yeah.
If you guys don't realize, if you guys did not know, 2 months back, NVIDIA placed a large order of a couple of billion with OpenAI. I mentioned this 2 weeks back as well.
So that's where you have this loop. You know, OpenAI then turns around to spend some of that money on NVIDIA.
On NVIDIA chips. Yeah. Yeah. But so, how it was, Helmut, let's say you come to me with $100 and you say, Dwight, I'm investing $100 in you. But you are a, let's say you make shoes.
Yeah.
And I am a leather producer, but I'm not slaughtering any cattle for the leather or any goats. I'm a synthetic leather producer. So I've got this lovely little 3D printing machine, but I need capital somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you come to me with that $100 and you say, Dwight, I'm going to invest $100 in you. You're a shoemaker, remember, a leather shoemaker. I'm going to invest this $100 in you. And then I take that same $100 and I order 100 pieces of, leather. Just raw leather that you got somewhere. Remember, you're still manufacturing that shoe.
Yeah.
I have to manufacture the synthetic leather.
Yeah.
And you're investing $100 into this synthetic leather production.
Your synthetic leather.
And I'm ordering 100 leather pieces. 100% leather from pieces from you.
My real leather?
Yes, from you.
Yeah.
Now, in any case, anyone that looks at that situation would realize that...
Okay, why?
There's an issue. What is the issue? The issue is the $100 is registered with me as in on my accounting. It's registered with me as a capital designation. To you, it's registered as money that you borrowed out, meaning it's a current asset. It's a, what's that word in accounting that we use? You get a fixed asset and you get a current asset. Yeah. So a current asset has to do with like people that owe you money, things that are related to like short-term scenarios. Fixed assets are things like a building, other equipment, properties. You know, like stuff like that, and other particular investments that you can see they are of value, but they are not money in the bank specifically. Now, anyone can see that this weird loop just looks weird. Because at the same time, OpenAI then got an investment from Oracle a month before that for a specific project development. And what Sam Altman did was take that same amount of money and invested something in Oracle.
And that means we'll need even more chips. Therefore, NVIDIA, can we have more?
Yeah, but here's the thing. OpenAI is facing a deadline next year, 2026, of going full commercial for the $200 price tag subscription. Full commercial. They're expected to become full commercial next year. And so too many particular people are citing that this looks like a bubble. They're just waiting for it to end.
Okay, so when they go full commercial, that's when investors want now to start cashing in there.
No, but they are now expecting return on investment.
Yeah, they are return on investment.
So when am I going to be paid back? When is Sam Altman going to declare a profit for said dividends?
Now, with contenders like DeepSeek coming out of Asia at a fraction of the price and development time frame.
That's why these tech guys.
That's scary.
That's why these tech guys. Are literally sort of like creating this loop where they're buying into each other. It's not even the loop.
Basically, the corporate world already do that with pretty much everything. They are each other's shareholders.
Yeah, but if you want the best case example, go to Japan. Japan and China do this. or most Asian economies do this. For example, in South Korea, the South Korean government asked Samsung to establish LG.
Mm-hmm.
LG is a sister brand of Samsung Electronics, but they're owned literally by the same multinational corporation.
They fall under, so it's somewhat of a subsidiary.
So too Hyundai. Hyundai was asked by the Korean government, please, you can't be a monopoly.
Yeah.
Invest in another brand or start up something else. And they started Kia. They started Kia. But they still...
So you're basically being asked to invest in your own competition. How does that make sense?
But you're asked to build up your own competition, which is literally the discussion that you and I had about how Apple literally invested in all those Chinese cell phone makers, mobile phone makers like Transsion.
Turned out to be...
Like Xiaomi, like... No, it actually helped them.
Mm-hmm.
Because those same factories then went and became market players in the Android space.
Yeah.
And so too, they met a specific need so as to avoid Apple being, being copied and cheap knockoffs of being made of their product,
mm-hmm.
which was the concern, which is something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
What's the book's name? I saw the book here at a bookstore here in Windhoek. I won't mention the bookstore's name. And the book came out earlier this year. The book is literally known as How Apple Trained Its Competitors. That's the thing's name.
Controlled Competition. That's genius.
So, and all of this began in 2008.
Oh, man, no.
Because what had happened was they realized that there were scamsters and scam organizations in China that were going around telling local consumers in China, buy so-and-so Apple products and you could enjoy certain particular perks. And then Apple came and said, no, this is not our official marketing campaign. What's going on here? And they literally encountered the worst kind of consumerist backlash with literally the same scam guys turning around and literally damaging the brand reputation of the company in China. And then Apple had to do the opposite. So I'm just summarizing the story.
Damage control.
Had to do the opposite. They realized, let's try and train the technology that we have in our technology to the local market manufacturers and players. And so too, they literally went and invested in value chains in China. That's why you saw Huawei just pop out of nowhere.
And it's already...
And then there's a company larger than Huawei, ZTE. ZTE pops up from nowhere.
Yes, ZTE is a tech giant.
But ZTE's main business is literally in this
telecommunications.
And Huawei is like number two after them in China and even in the world. And then Xiaomi pops up out of nowhere. And then Transsion, that no one has heard of, pops out of nowhere, who's developing specific camera technologies for mobile phones, for their mobile phones.
For a specific market.
Just for a specific market. For a
specific region.
For a specific daytime feature, even. If you guys don't remember, we spoke about them developing cameras just for us Africans to see each other at night.
Really appreciate the specifications.
The weirdest thing is that we can't even do that for ourselves, Amon.
Oh, no, we can. It's just that...
we could not.
We could
the
if we stopped...
The supposed African brand in Rwanda... When was the last time?
The point I'm trying to make is if we put a lot of money into our own research and development in this than ordering iPhones with two SIM cards, we would have pulled it off by now.
Yeah. You have to let go of that.
Nah.
Sometime you have to let go of that.
Not happening.
But anyway, yeah. Before we continue, dear listeners, we're going to be taking a short live read. Velvita University, where everyone is an achiever, and the 2026 applications are now open for the following new programs. Faculty of Health Sciences for the Master of Public Health Level 9. The mode of delivery will be distance. Areas of specialization include maternal child health, public health nutrition, mental health and well-being, food safety management systems, sustainable solid waste management, innovative approaches in pharmaceutical public health, drug regulations, child protection and adolescent health, violence prevention and intervention. The application fee is $230 million. The application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-4263 or 061-225-462. Vavice University, where everyone is an achiever.
Five minutes left to the hour of six. So AI and skills, and skills development have been on a collision course.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are still trying to find where these two complement each other. Because, every time that a piece of technological advancement pops up in a society, it's embraced by some and it's shunned by some. But now a lot of people that especially those ones that embrace it finds it easy to find where the technology complements their skills, so they can so it can positively work for them. I think that's one of those aspects that we must focus on. That's why I referenced I only came to realize, I think, today when I joined the pieces of our, AI readiness assessment report and the oil industry, the oil industry, local content report also.
Mm.
Now, these two things, basically, if you ask me, we want to make sure that, when our oil industry goes online in terms of production, we want as much Namibians as possible to benefit from it.
Yeah.
Now this is true of pretty much every sector that we're building. How do you make sure that as much Namibian as possible benefit from these sectors or these developmental projects?
Yeah.
You have to make sure that they have the skills for them to participate in these sectors. How do you pull that off? Train them. Except you can't just randomly train them. You have to know which ones are more easily replaceable, and which ones are are going to stay for a long run.
Mm.
Yeah, because you don't want to gather around, take for example 200 people today, and then give them skills, and then the next day a software comes out that replaces that plays that role, and then they're all rendered redundant, and now you have to let them go. Or possibly retrain them again. Retraining, I think, is a word that we're going to be hearing. We're going to be hearing for a very long time. Retraining and retraining and retraining. Again, there's nothing evil about it. It's just, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens. If you look into the history of telecommunication, there was a time when an operator had to literally, plug a wire from one port and then connect it to another
That was the old switchboard.
Connect you.
That was the old switchboard.
What's in the place of a switchboard today?
My sister told me it's a PABX. So what is a PABX? It's literally a multi-line situation that feeds through a nice little phone that has flashing numbers on it.
So at some point, those flashing numbers
was as big as this wall, and you had like multiple people sitting in the front of this wall.
Uh-huh.
Who had to answer the phone call and asked, who did you want to speak to, Helmut? Mm-hmm. And then Helmut says,
which region are they?
I'd like to speak to Mr. XYZ from from the finance department. Please patch me through. And then I would literally take the socket or the switch
cable from one port.
It was literally, it looked like what's this thing that we use for our, like a jack.
Headphone jack. Yeah.
Like, it looks like a headphone jack. Pull it out from there and you put it into another socket
that connects directly to that
person's dimension, person's extension.
Yeah.
Then the developments obviously moved on, whereby now you have this very small switchboard. Have you ever seen a receptionist desk?
Yeah.
With that massive telephone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it becomes that miniaturized switchboard. One person. And it lists all the extensions.
Mm-hmm.
For all the people in the offices. So now it becomes that particular dimension.
Just one.
Yeah, but you can't do it on this phone. The phone is at least this big. It still exists.
Being operated by how many people?
One person.
How many people were operating the physical wall-sized one?
Well, the very first time back in the 1940s, 1930s, it was like a couple of 20 people to 30 to 40 people. And then they even have had shifts.
Gone.
They even had shifts.
And you're left with one.
Yeah. Now you're just one person. So,
so you reduced that, you reduced the people that could carry out that role from 20.
Or possibly 50.
Or 50, depending on the size, of course.
Yeah.
To one.
To one person.
Commercial break.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first. Only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, you have a role that was executed by more than 20, 50 people, and now it's being like, what, less than 5 or at least 1?
It's so now just one person.
That's going to happen in a lot of sectors. Yeah, and so, basically it's already happening.
Yeah, it's already happening. I mean, one of the downsides, Hamoud, is you have to look at each sector. You have to literally, in the Namibian context, you now have to go to each sector and try to understand,
it's going to be transformed.
What tech skills have now come along? I'd like to understand specifically, for example, like the guys that are in major mathematical,
fields
like engineering and medicine. To what extent are they going to roll out some of these new developments? Because this means these are things that have to be updated by act, by law,
mm-hmm.
at the line ministries that they function under. The downside, obviously, is that the private sector always moves quicker than the public sector. For years, for more than 10 years, you've had civil society organizations and NGOs championing digital rights, championing internet user-friendly rights or internet literacy rights, meaning knowing what is a scam, what is not a scam, mm-hmm. what is legit, what is not legit. Now those guys have a more advanced role, meaning their work has become even more difficult, where they now have to try and coach people on what is AI, what is fake, what is not fake, what is not AI, and all those particular things. So that means their work just became more. Obviously, for them as the civic society guys, it's just a bonus because they obviously realize, hey, more work, but it becomes a little bit more complex.
Yeah.
Now you've got to try and see how does your government navigate some of these negative trends? Because you and I, we discussed the EU AI Act, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Namibia? Where's the AU?
We are working on it.
You see, this year's already done and dusted.
Yeah.
Not once in that National Assembly platform has any of the MPs stood up and decided, you know what? AI is going to transform jobs in this country. The only MP that got up to make a stink about any particular comment about AI usage was when the health minister went and said, I'd like to have, in future, I'd like to see AI ambulances.
Oh, no.
And then the next week, she got attacked by opposition MPs for, yeah, the concern is you need to make jobs or think about job creation in your sector. Look, it was just, what's the word? It was just an aspiration, a hope that the minister had. Because the minister obviously knows she does not have, she doesn't have all the money to play with in her ministry. And it's not like she can make the final decision on any investment and development projects.
No.
The final decision, because her ministry is so large. The worst thing is, ne, between the new ministers, meaning the new people we see as ministers in this new, in the administration of 2025 to 2030, is that this administration has a whole bunch of people that actually know what government, how government functions. For example, the education minister. She knows how a minister...
She's been in that line of work for...
For a very long time. And she said it even in her, what's it called, her maiden speech.
Yeah, yeah, that was when
they... At the start of the maiden speeches. And for a week, I was like going on this WhatsApp, this parliament WhatsApp group. Like,
maiden speeches.
Why are they coining everything maiden speech? So anyway.
I even came up with a, okay, nothing. Go on.
So, that's one of the few people in this cabinet that knows what, how the government functions.
Yeah.
Now, we obviously have to view. And this is why I'm continuously emphasizing this point. I am concerned of the everyday Namibian, because the everyday Namibian is not a politician. They might support a political stance or political view or have their favorite peoples that they like, but the everyday Namibian is concerned with, where am I eating? Where am I staying? Where am I going to work? What are my particular needs and all that. They fall into traps, and which are dumb traps on social media, of which political party has gone and done what campaigning, where, in which dimension of everyday Namibian life. And it does not feed them, it does not house them, it doesn't serve any purpose. Now, here's the biggest gamble, Hamlet. Obviously, besides the boxing match that happened last year in Samora Machel constituency, where the unfortunate... I'll call him the political, proponent, unfortunately walked into someone's hand.
Oh, the Will Smith situation.
The what?
Will Smith's situation.
Oh, you calling it Will Smith. I at least am saying that he unfortunately walked into someone's hand, even though he was standing still. That event itself was based on how people still in 2025 see politics in Namibia. The downside is, dear listeners, you unfortunately have to mature. They have to mature.
Yeah.
You have to separate the chaff from the what? What's the idiom, Helmut? They have to separate something from something. But you literally have to separate what you can derive a benefit from, because you now have to become selfish, and you have to see who is speaking to those benefits that you actually want to see. Because up until today, Helmut and I, we are saying this. If a politician cannot prove to you how they're going to create jobs, why are you listening to the person?
Yeah.
So,
because he's wearing a suit and speaking private school English. But,
hello.
Oh, what?
Have you heard some of the English of those politicians? Of those councillors?
I know.
So here's the particular gist, dear listeners.
No, somewhere in there is quickly. But we are 2 minutes into, 8 minutes actually.
Yeah, that 2 minutes went very quickly to 8 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. So
8 minutes into, business and economic segments. Yeah.
So just on a final word, guys, you have to look at the developments that Namibia are going to walk into the next 4 years.
Yeah.
See how that particularly plays out. See where AI adoption takes place. I feel very sorry for all the guys that are studying IT.
Yeah. The irony is you guys build this whole thing.
And the irony, and the worst, the further irony on top of that statement, Helmut, is literally, it seems like it's your own particular fellow tech guys that hate humanity for some reason.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Well,
it's not my problem. They can't.
Betrayal doesn't come far. I mean, Judas was one of our Lord and Savior's own. That didn't go well.
Remember, that portrayal itself, or should I rather say that projection for the past 6,000 years,
mm-hmm.
is has probably morphed into various dimensions
yep.
of actually who Judas was.
Yep.
Now, in the worst case scenario, in fictional stories, Judas is somehow the precursor to all vampires.
And how you, and actually that's by, you know, for me to wrap it up, that's why you should drive safe, because if you drive in a dumb way and end up, you know, meeting our Lord and Savior sooner, the loved one that you're going to leave behind, your best friend will be comforting. Let's just leave it there. So, drive safe, fasten a seatbelt.
Yeah, listen to Almud, guys. Yeah. Listen to Almud on that note.
Yeah.
Let's see each other again, same time, same place tomorrow.
Yeah.